Welcome back to GaffBo Radio, Episode 5. Recently, John made it back from the 2012 West Coast Beard and Mustache Championships in Portland, Oregon. While he was there, he sat down with a friend of ours, Mr. Mike O'Connor of the Gotham City Beard Alliance. You can find them online at gothamcitybeards.com. Mike also runs his own podcast called From the Wilderness, which you can find online at ftwpod.com.
All right. Welcome to episode 5 of GaffBo Radio. We're very excited here today. We've got the special guest. We've got the man who, I don't know how to describe him, but he...
Be gentle.
You get lost in his eyes and you just can't help yourself. It's Mr. Mike O'Connor, the man, the myth, the legend, Mike O'Connor.
I need to perhaps copyright that.
Yeah.
Start using it.
You might have to.
I thank you for having me on this.
It's our pleasure. It's always a good time to see you, Mike.
Thank you. Likewise.
Yes. So as always, I'm Admiral Buckler. We've got the Duchess of Information, Catherine Smith Buckler. And of course, Mike O'Connor.
I need to come up with names for my podcast. I'm just like, it's Mike.
Well, you know, it.
I guess if it's like certain like comedy or something, it's like, yeah, no, you gotta have names.
Yeah, you gotta have names. Ours come from our ranks in the the GaffBo Army, we call it, even though everyone has ranks that aren't necessarily Army or...
Well, then bitches can't be in the Army.
That's why Kate's a duchess.
an admiral?
Admiral is a Navy
term. That's
a
Navy term.
Right.
Every time I picture you as Admiral Buckler, you have the hat that Captain Crunch wears.
Yeah.
Which
is one of my dream
admiral,
Halloween
right?
costumes, actually.
Why don't you do it?
Because it's a mustache. So I'd have to shave.
Oh, that's right. He doesn't have... I
was able to get away with Yosemite Sam this past Halloween. It was pretty solid.
Nice.
I just spread it out, dyed it red.
Wow.
Shot my cap guns off all night.
Did you ever see... I'm going to kick you a few times. Did you ever see Eric Brown?
If somebody Sam this past Halloween, I put a picture up on Facebook and he sent me a link to his Flickr account. And I was like, oh, you totally did it. He's got the advantage of actually having red facial hair, though. So
and chops that are...
And chops, yeah. Well, not anymore.
But... Not anymore. He had some amazing fucking facial hair.
Yeah. I met Eric in Philadelphia in March of 2010. And they had a competition. It wasn't Biggins or anything. It was this guy named Rue Vandergrift.
Wow.
And it was in a yoga studio.
I was there.
You were there.
I was there.
We just didn't talk. We didn't connect then.
No, I was very new to all of this.
That was my second competition.
Yeah.
Second real one.
That was in, you said March, right?
March of 2010.
Yeah, because I did Worlds in 2009, and then I did Coney Island in New York, and then that was my third one.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh my God, I didn't know we were at the same fucking contest. What did you, were you in?
I did freestyle.
You did freestyle.
And it was my first attempt at freestyle.
Wow.
And I used wax and what was it, like pomade and stuff.
Oh wow.
But I didn't really know what I was doing.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was all sticky and heavy and wet, but I did win my category.
Very nice.
Walked away with a copy of Leaves of Grass by Walt Whitman as my prize.
I remember that contest. It was a little, I mean, it's not like I really had much to compare it to. I mean, I guess I did. I had the Worlds.
Yeah.
End of the spectrum, and then I had fucking Freak Show of Coney Island on the other. So this was something kind of in the middle, and I remember just like going, I don't really know what to do here. And, who was it? Was it Trevor Cranmer that won?
Trevor Cranmer was there. Did he win for the beard?
I think that he did.
I feel you're right.
Yeah,
because that was my first time meeting Trevor.
Yep.
Eric, I guess we just didn't cross paths, and also met some of the guys from Dayton, Ohio, the Gem City Gents.
Yep.
And it was a good time. I mean, stayed with my cousin Aaron, had a great time. Didn't
Is that
get
the
it.
One where you got Kanye?
Yeah, I got Kanye'd. Everyone got Kanye'd there. Remember, there was the dude who came up and started yelling on stage these aren't real beards. Like, yeah, because
he was shit-faced, right?
Yeah, he was.
And there was like kids there.
Yeah,
he had beard. He had a a backpack full of cans of beer, like real shit.
Well, he was
beer.
Smart because they ran out of beer like that.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It was pretty cool.
And I think it was warm. I think the beer was warm.
It was homebrew. I mean, the one I had was solid. I believe it was an Imperial Stout, Russian Imperial Stout, and I liked it.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was then, by the time I went to go get a second beer, they were all gone. But
it was in a yoga studio. I totally forgot about that competition. Wow. We stayed with Ben and Jen.
And that's when I met Ben and Jen as well.
Yeah. God, that seems like so long ago, and it really wasn't 2 years ago now.
Yeah, 2 years. I know. It's time flies. Eons ago.
Back in my day.
Back before the internet, we had to get our beard mustache competition invitations by telegraph.
Stop. Don't stop shaving. Wait, what?
Good times.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun. I compared it. The one I had to compare it to was the first Southeastern beard mustache competition put on by Holy City.
Okay, so Paul
Charleston, Roof. Paul Roof and them. And we had gone down to Charleston in February, and we were excited to escape the Michigan winter.
Yeah,
we get to Charleston, they get snow for the first time in 20 years. but I went down there with no idea what to expect.
Yeah.
I had a fucking amazing time. Mickey and Fried and Jody Hoover were there. And so, like, those were our first, like, good beard friends that we made. And, but they just put on such a great show, and it was such a wild time. And then when I went to Philly, I was just like,
you're like, what is this?
This is fun. Like, we were staying with my cousin, and I was like, oh, yeah, it's a party. It'll be a great time. And we show up to the yoga studio? we show up to the yoga studio, and she's just like, standing there, kind of in the corner. I'm saying, I'm really sorry. Like, I thought this was gonna be more of something instead of some dude playing guitar in the beginning and everyone sitting on pillows, cross-legged.
It was a weird experience. Yeah. I think that's.
It got livelier.
It did. No, it totally did. And you know, that's I think that's like the trial and error when it comes to like putting on a competition. You don't really know what to do.
Right.
And like, I mean, I think up until that point, there was nothing really. There was no model. You know, for it, especially for smaller like cities and competitions, there was no real model for it.
Are you saying Philadelphia is a small city? Because there's 3 million fucking people.
No.
And maybe compared to your New York City,
to New York style of No, well, I think meaning like, you know, you don't have much to compare it to. Not like, you know, landmass wise with, you know, millions of people, but I think in just terms of what to expect and, you know, kind of like the overall flow, like you learn from your mistakes and you know, bring in new ideas and see how it works out. And I mean, that place, I'm sure it was like, hey, my friend owns a yoga studio and they said, we can throw it on here. I think it'd be fun to have some locals that come down. I don't even remember how the fuck I heard about it. I just remember like being like, yeah, I totally want to go. And we like a bunch of us road trip down there and had a good time. But it was like, again, like, That was like the middle ground of my two other experiences of beard and mustache competition. So,
well, speaking of learning from your mistakes as far as beard mustache competitions, I know we put at GAFBO and Detroit Beard League and the Great Lakes Beard Mustache Camaraderie put on the Motor City event last year, which all in all I think was an excellent competition, but we definitely had a number of mistakes. But you've now put on two in New York at Club Europa in Brooklyn, which is not too far from where you live.
No. That's what makes it easy.
Yeah.
Plus, it's in a Polish neighborhood, so the wife is able to help me out with convincing the owners that it was okay to do it the first year. So.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, is that what you want me to
talk
about?
Well, I hadn't gotten the mistake. To the question
go,
yet.
Go, I'm sorry. I'm so ready.
Fucking asshole.
I pre-came a little bit with my words. Do kids listen to this? I hope not.
No. Well, maybe. I mean, I'm sure you'll be heard by tens of people. So, you know, in Polish neighborhoods, ours was in a Polish neighborhood as well in Detroit.
That's right.
Tramick, and I know that that's one of the reasons we were able to get you and Carolina to come, I would imagine. And you
was the highlight of the, that was the highlight of the trip.
You pre-came on the way, but sorry. But okay, tell us some of the things that I guess, you know, what you've learned in your putting on competitions, not so much in your travels, but.
Yeah, yeah. I, you know,
some things that are important or whatever. Whatever you want to say.
This was my second event putting on. What? This is the second event that I have put on. And there is nothing quite like organizing an event like this. There was a guy named Matt Sockelman, I think his name is.
That sounds familiar, yeah.
I think his name was Beards, with like three or four Z's in it, something like that. He was a local in New York, and he put on the New York City Beard and Mustache Competition in 2007 or 8. Or nine.
I want to say nine, because I remember Nikki and Jody telling us about it.
Yes, and it was held at Public Assembly, which is a weird sort of spot. I think they might have used two rooms for it, but from what I learned, I talked with him before I did the first competition. I said, listen, what can I expect? Like, you know, what are your ideas? You know, what did you make mistakes on? What did you learn from? And just kind of pick his brain about it. And he said, here's the thing. We had to turn people away at the door. Because there was so many people. He's like, you got to find a venue that holds enough people. I said, okay, fair enough. And for me, it was like, A, I need a stage, obviously. It's really hard to do anything that's on a level platform. You can't see. Tall people are tall. And for something like a beard competition, you want to be able to see everybody. Right, that's the fucking point of it. So I went and saw my friend's band play over at Club Europa. And this guy's part of the Gotham City Beard Alliance. And I'm at Europa, and I'm like, yeah, you know what? This is a really good spot. I've been here before. They have a fucking stage. They have a great sound system. They have a lot of room. I said, I'm going to see about this. I talked to the promoter outside, and, you know, we just started going back and forth with ideas. And for me, it was convincing them that it was worthwhile for them to allow us to have a Saturday.
Right.
Saturday is the day. I don't think I've been to a competition yet that's not been on a Saturday.
Were you here in Portland last year?
No, I wasn't.
Okay, because that was on a Sunday.
Like on a Sunday, yeah.
But I imagine that was the same sort of thing. The Crystal Ballroom, very famous venue, probably was like, well, let's see how you do.
Yeah, and if we break even or whatever. And so for me, it was like, I said, listen, here's pictures from the year before's event. They had a line outside that they had to turn people away. Like, let me show you what this is about. And then it was like when everything kind of started happening with like the show, like there was more interest generated in like beard and mustache competition. So the first year it was, I got to tell you, the first year was a lot easier. The only stressful thing was me proposing to Carolina. Like that was like the only thing.
That's why everything was so easy, is because you had one thing to really.
Yeah. And like everyone was like, don't worry about it. We'll take care of everything. And so it was great.
They were taking care of everything, even the proposing to Carolina.
Yeah, pretty much. Like I just went and took a shit, and my doppelganger came out and proposed.
Those things are handy.
Yeah,
doppelgangers.
But there was no problems with last year. It was a really very successful event, and I thought that, you know what, now come up 2011. It's the same thing. I'm just going to rework the same formula.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw in a few little extra things here and there. I'm going to try a raffle this year. We're going to do a little bit different with judging. And I was under the impression that everything was going to go smoothly. but there was it turned into, and I don't blame the promoter, because it wasn't his fault. It was the club. They booked another thing that night after us, knowing last year how successful it was, and knowing that we have 500 people in your club right now that
drinking
are
beers,
that are drinking and having a good time and like are not wanting to go anywhere else at this point. And we had a whole thing where we had the first round of judging when we took our 30-minute break while there was like sword swallowing and some other shit going on. And then we were supposed to come out, and the finalists were supposed to come up on the stage, five or six in each category, and they were all supposed to be judged like Olympic style with numbers. And that's how it was supposed to go. When we go backstage to start doing like the, you know, getting the counts for the people that are going in the finals, we get told you have a half an hour to get the fuck out. And right then is when I lost my shit. Is when I was like, this is all crumbling. Like, this is horrible. Registration was like such a fucking, it wasn't a disaster, but it was, it's a very small area. And when you have people trying to get in that are just wanting to pay and not compete versus people that are going to compete, it's like, we got to have two separate things for it, or two separate entrances or something. So it's like you learn from those mistakes, and you realize the biggest thing that I realized is that I didn't want to disappoint everybody, and I felt like that I felt like I did.
We were extremely disappointed.
That's why you're here.
That's why we're here. We just need you to answer some fucking questions. I want my $2.
You need to make amends.
I gave you beers, right? All right, good.
All right, yeah. Consider it wiped, the slate wiped clean.
But it was one of those things where I was like, I'm taking on all of this on my own, and you know, I felt like I'm putting too much on my own shoulders and not relying on other people around me that say that they can help, because sometimes I want to control everything, you know, like I want to make sure that everything goes well, and if anything happens, that, well, that's my fault. I don't want to turn the blame on somebody else. And so
I've run into similar problems, I think.
Yeah.
Kate's brought it up to me a few times that you need to let other people handle this shit.
Yes.
So.
Yes. Especially when you're putting on something as large as this. I mean, yeah. Like, people don't realize that there's a lot of work that goes into putting on an event. Like, any event that somebody puts on, there's always challenges. And, you know, whether it comes down to, like, scoring or... you know, when are you going to start everything? Like, are you going to have something in the middle to keep people occupied while the judges take a break? It's like all these things that you got to think about. And you don't want people to be bored, because you can go to a competition, you can be there for 5-6 hours.
Yeah.
Go to the world competition, you're there for 8 or 9 hours. And everyone's just like, I'm fucking bored. Like, I want to drink and have a good time. But it's like, it's a different atmosphere when you go to something like that versus like, well, you're going to go to a competition in one of these other cities and they're going to make sure you have a good time and your attention is constantly there.
Well, I mean, that's the big thing. Like, when you have a competition and you have 300-500 people, whatever, the vast majority of them are just spectators.
Yeah.
I mean, they want to see stuff.
Yeah.
And so if you bore them during that intermission, they're like, I don't give a fuck. I'm out.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to go and drink beers over here.
On a Saturday night.
Yeah.
Like that. So there's definitely that challenge of like keeping people's interest and getting people to show up. At first I was worried about competitors. Then we had a shitload of competitors that started coming in online the last fucking minute. And I said, I'm not worried about competitors now. Now I'm worried about people that are going to show up. Because we ended up getting really late with getting all of our flyers out. Mm-hmm. Like, we just did not.
You do have the advantage of 8 million fucking people in your city, though.
Here's the thing, though.
So at least 500 people are probably looking for something beard-related on any given night.
Maybe. I don't know if it's beard-related. I will say this, though. I mean, like, I have a lot of respect for these different clubs that host events, and they're on their local radio shows. They're on their local TV shows. I don't get that. I don't have that luxury in New York.
Yeah.
Because New York is not necessarily a city that really understands or embraces something like this. I mean, because it's New York, there's so much going on. We'd rather talk about, you know, cats or like, you know, look, celebrities do the same things
I think you should specify, is it cats or cats on the internet? Because they're kind of two different beasts.
The cats on the internet are probably more newsworthy.
Right, okay.
So if, you know, they'll definitely show a clip of a cat doing a backflip than a clip of me saying, come out to the beard and mustache competition, you know?
Squirrel water skiing. Stuff
yeah,
like that.
I mean, I would watch that.
Oh, fuck yeah. I'd watch that over your face. I mean, oh, I'm sorry. That was harsh.
What if it was my face on the squirrel while it's water skiing?
I'm pretty down.
That'd be really cute.
Yeah. Pretty down. So, yeah. It'd just be like a little tiny you water skiing.
Well,
speaking of little tiny yous, it's a... You've got a kid on the way.
I do.
Oh,
I do.
And you just found out the sex?
Yeah, we just found out that we are having a little girl.
That's exciting.
She is the size of an apple right now.
Okay.
And
the apple of your eye.
The apple of my eye. And the apple in my wife's uterus. I left it up there for some reason. Yeah, it...
You guys are into some kinky shit.
Yeah, we are. I blame her Polishness. It was really weird. We got married in October, and the conception date was our wedding night.
Nice.
And so when I tell people that, they're like, "What, you guys waited?" And we're like, no. It just happened to be the time that she was ovulating, and, you know, of course we're going to fuck on our wedding night. And, you know, it was...
You got problems if you don't.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, there was three of our other friends... All pregnant now, too. which is weird. I'm not going to say their names in case they run
don't
want to
tell people. Yeah, it definitely comes in waves. We've, I don't know, 2 years ago or a year, we had, although like our close circle of friends, I would say 80% of them were pregnant.
Wow.
It's hard something. To keep them all straight then. I'm like, were you born the end of December, the middle of December,
yeah.
the beginning of December?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Yeah, it's fucking wild.
It's kind of nice because now she'll have like the other girls, her other friends, so she can complain to them about how sick she feels. Because, like, I mean, like, you know, there's only so much I can do.
You're like, I feel sick too, honey. I drank too much last night.
I'm, like, constantly, like, saying, like, well, would this make you feel better? Would this make you feel better? And then once I reach the end of that list, I'm like, okay, I'm going to keep watching TV. I don't know what else to do. Like, I, and then, you know, it's always
if
like...
If I offer just, to help, you say no.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, I don't know what to do. So I hope that the next 6 months from now, you know, she'll start to feel a little bit better. She's going to do fine, though. She's going to be great.
She'll get better. She'll get worse. She'll get better. She'll get worse. Then you'll have a baby.
Yeah.
And
then it's just going to be...
And then shit's cake from there on out.
It's a fucking cakewalk.
You know, baby. Our friend... our good friends out in California, in Santa Cruz, our friends Kevin and Rebecca, and they actually started GAFBO with me.
Oh, nice. Okay.
He's the impetus for GAFBO. He went as Castro for Halloween a number of years ago, and it turned into a drunken debate of who can grow the fiercest beard, and then GAFBO was born.
Is that how? Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
And then it was just small. It was like five guys the first year, and we did a sprint competition.
Nice.
And then did a crazy off where we all shaved our beards and no ridiculous shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Did that for a couple of years. He got cancer.
Oh, wow.
We changed the focus to, like, raise funds for the American Cancer Society and grow our beards for a year, whatever. But they just had a baby, and he's like, you know, the thing is when your baby is little and the first several months, that baby is, like, worthless. Not worthless in, like, I mean, obviously I love it, but...
You can't trade it in for
you
a new...
Can't, but you can't do anything. That baby, you just have to carry it everywhere.
Yeah, it.
It's not until they get to be, like, 9 months or, you
where
know,
they start
whatever,
to
they're
move
crawling
a little bit more.
And they're developing their personality and they can kind of take food themselves. But those first couple months, you're just exhausted because you have to do everything.
Yeah.
You're like, come on, little person, grow up.
Grow the fuck up. Man up!
Yeah, definitely a cakewalk, but...
I look forward to it.
Yeah. No, I think you guys are going to be pretty solid parents. If not both of you, definitely Carolina. And,
hey, that's fine.
Yeah, at least one of us is good.
At least
good.
One of us will be good. That's all you need, right? For a healthy family unit.
Right.
just one strong parent.
But let's talk a little bit about you and Carolina. I mean, mm-hmm. You're a facial hair love story, so to speak.
Yeah, it's kind of gay, but...
Well, you know.
In the good way.
In the happy way.
In the happy way.
But so tell us, a little bit about meeting her and wooing her and...
Ah, oh, man, I don't know
I mean, you can leave
I...
out the coitus.
Yeah.
But...
Well, that...
Or not.
We met.
Really.
I mean, if it's pushing apples into uteruses, I think you should explain how that's done. And keeping
why?
The apple intact.
I have,
or
I have,
why?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I have a video, an instructional video. That was actually how
well,
I got
you
stuck
on
up
YouTube.
There. Yeah.
All right. I mean, there were masks.
I went to Alaska for the World Championships in 2009. I was living in San Francisco at the time. And I was at this really, you know, not like a low point in my life, but definitely at a point where I was like, man, I'm just like, nothing's making me happy. Like everything's kind of...
Something's got to change.
Something's got to change. And I had all these like ideas like, if I move to another part of the city, if I, you know, take another job or, you know, whatever, if me and my girlfriend at the time, you know, move, like, you know, things will get better. And I didn't realize that I just wasn't happy with everything. And I found out about this competition. I said, you know what? I'm going to go to it. I'm going to check it out. You know, I told my girlfriend at the time, I'm like, I'm going to go, like, on this trip. It's, like, you know, 3 weeks long or whatever. I'm like, I'm going to check it out. And she's like, okay, go for it. So I go, and obviously I meet Carolina, and, like, just kind of started, you know, because there's a big group of us on a boat, mm-hmm. and we're really the only ones we can communicate with because everyone else is either German or, you know, old Midwest people that are our, you know, normal cruise line passengers.
Are you talking about the beard folk? Not like the beard folk are the only people you could communicate
yes.
with.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So we were in all.
So you don't have anything against the Midwest?
No, not at all. Not at
do
all.
You?
No, 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 no. Maybe.
Oh, I've got issues with the Midwest, too.
Yeah, I think everyone does. But so it was like, you know, all of us are young. Like, I think none of us really knew each other from anywhere else. So we were all just, like, hanging out and stuff. And, of course, like, the, you know, normal everyday conversations of getting to know somebody. And so I had, you know, kind of struck up conversations with her and, like, asking, you know, about, you know, what she's into. And she told me about how she lost her job. She's on this road trip right now, and she's unemployed, and she's going to be on it for, like, all this time. And I was like, wow, that, like, takes a lot of guts to just do something like that. I'm like, I could never do anything like that. She's like, well, you know, you only live once. Like, I'll figure things out and all of this. And, you know, over the course, it was just, like, me really, you know, at some point, I was like, I'm just not happy with what I'm doing. And she was just honest. She was like, why are you continuing to do it then? And it's like, it's such an obvious question that I should ask myself, but I didn't. And I thought that, well, this is the way things are supposed to be, and I'll figure it out eventually. And of course, like, being around everyone in Alaska, in beautiful landscape, and being, you know, just around people that do, like, beard competitions, I was like, this is, like, the craziest thing I've ever done in my life. I'm in Alaska, and I had a lot of, like, time to, like, self-reflect. And I, you know, I just kind of took her words, and I was like, you know what? You're right. I need to start doing things that are going to make me happy. And I was...
One of them shoving apples of uteruses. Yeah.
Which I'm so glad she let me do. So I
didn't even know I liked that shit.
I was very vanilla in 2009. So I left Alaska with this, like, sense of, like, what am I going to do? Like, I'm kind of done with everything. And I get back, and, like, she emailed me, and she's like, look, like, I know that you were pretty serious about maybe wanting to go and move and this and that. And, like, I had met Chris Payne, and he lived out in New York, and I met Max Baer and a few others. And I was like, you know what? Maybe I'll go to New York.
Those are just names to me, because yeah, I never actually met them.
That's okay. You don't.
No, that's all right.
Yeah.
I mean, the names are familiar.
Yeah, yeah. The point is, they all lived in New York, and mm-hmm. I was like, man, you know what? Maybe I'll try New York. I had no intention of ever coming to New York. But I figured, why not let it be a sort of jumping off point of, like, starting completely fresh. And I just left. I put in my 2 weeks at work. I said, I'm leaving. Carolina was like, listen, like, we got room in the car. It was her and Eric. They were traveling together, and they said, we got room in the car if you want to come with us. I said, when am I ever going to travel across the U.S. again like this? Like, I'm just going to fucking do it. You know, like, try something completely different on my own, freak myself out, have a panic attack about it, and then say, that was totally worth it. And during that course of time, like, you know, we really got to know each other, and it was like, you know, obviously I just got out of a relationship, so I was like, I don't really know, like, what's going on, but, like, everything really just felt right. It was like, I went to Alaska for a reason. You know, it's like you don't realize something is right until, like, you
realize something's wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you give up all your inhibitions, and you give up all of, like, your because I question everything. I think of, like, all the possibilities of everything. And I was just clear. I was like, this is what you have to do. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to fucking do it. And then, you know, fast forward now, here we are. We're married. We're having a kid. And, you know, she's the fucking love of my life. And I never would have thought that had I not done something as ridiculous as go to Alaska for a beard and mustache competition, that my life would be what it is now.
Right.
And this is exactly what I needed. I needed something drastic to change, and this is about as drastic as it gets. So, yeah, it's a love story. It's a, you know, just a story about, like, really just getting out of your comfort zone, because we too easily find ourselves so stuck in that and not wanting to do anything because everything that we're doing at the moment is comfortable. And I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know for 3 months while I'm traveling across the U.S. whether or not I'm going to have a job in New York at all. Right. You know, it's still part of the recession. And I was like, I'm still employed with Whole Foods, so I could, you know, transfer. But they weren't calling me back when I'm, like, asking for a job and stuff. So it was, like, stressful. But once I got in, everything was just kind of smooth sailing from there.
Congrats, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's just wild. I don't know. That's some wild shit.
It's a good story.
Yeah.
It's a good story.
I mean, who would have thought? It's wild. And if anything, like, when people ask me why I did something like this, like, well, why are you so interested in like beard and mustache competitions? I'm like, look, because it changed my entire life. Like, I may not do competitions all the time or for the rest of my life, but I'm always going to look at this moment and say, this was worth it. In this time period that I've been doing this, this has totally been worth it. And who knows what else could come from it, from like other people being involved. It's just, it's a great community too.
It is.
And that's why like I've been so like into it, is because of the community of people. It's not about winning. It's like, sure, that's fun, but for me, it's like,
that's why I do it.
Yeah. Obviously, Mr. First Place in New York. No, but it's you know, like, I mean, I had a shitty record for the past year of like going to competitions and never even placing. Like, it was like, you know, of course I get bummed out and of course it's like shitty, but at the end of the day, I'm like, I know some of the fucking coolest people that I would absolutely drop everything for if they need anything.
Right.
And I think that everyone else feels that way as well. And it's like, You form these bonds and friendships with people that are just so fucking amazing. I mean, we're sitting here in a hotel in Portland, Oregon,
right,
doing a podcast together, you know?
We never would have met.
Would have met had this, like, not happened. You know?
I never would have gone to New York if you guys hadn't been putting on a competition specifically. I mean, I never had any desire to go there myself. I'm not a big city guy.
No. Kinda, me either.
Tall buildings!
There's two ways off of this fucking island.
What do you mean it cost me $12.50 to get here?
And oh, yeah, it does.
Free to get out.
Yeah.
New Jersey's like, please come, we won't charge you.
Yeah, yeah.
But, no, everyone seems to have a different story about how the facial hair community has changed their life. I mean, I know it's challenged me. Doing freestyle, it's challenged me to be more creative, which has spilled over into other avenues. I've been writing a lot more. I've been trying new things. GAFBO has grown, and we do a lot of community service around town, and it's like, that's really felt just good. Who would have thought doing good and doing right feels good?
Yeah,
you know.
I
knew shoving apples up uteruses felt good, but
for you,
but donating to charity. Well, I don't have a uterus.
Yeah, but it's got
to. I mean, I have a uterus. It's in a jar. But we don't talk about that.
We're supposed to get.
Yeah, we were supposed to get rid of that.
The last garage sale.
Right. We sold it and paid for our trip out to
to that show Oddities or whatever.
And then on the last podcast that we recorded. Mm-hmm.
Last one that you did.
But it's with a gentleman named Kevin, who in Columbus, he finished second in partial beard. Behind Miletus. He has like a big red goatee. He's part of GAFBO.
Okay.
And his story is really intense about him being in the hospital for 33 days, and they still don't know whatever was wrong with him. This happened in 2003 or so.
Oh, shit.
And he was in quarantine with a bunch of cancer patients, and they were in the ICU. They've been going through chemo and so lost all their hair. And the whole time he was there, I mean, he doesn't have a lot of memory of it.
Yeah, yeah.
But they can't shave you in there because of, you know, it could cause some problems. And so everyone else is losing their hair, and he's growing this beard for over a month. And when he came out and he didn't have a lot of memory of it, that beard became a symbol, like a tangible connection to those people that he went through a tough time with. You know, he said he was making these connections with people, and then a day or two later they die. And so his beard is a way to like stay connected to them and stay connected to that difficult period in his life, but one where he doesn't want to lose, lose that memory, even though he doesn't remember because of the drugs he was on and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's a really intense story, and I'd strongly suggest checking it out.
No, definitely. That sounds insane.
Yeah, I've met a lot of people that's just the beard mustache competitions, that's really a small part of it.
Yeah.
It's not about that. It's about the community and about finding these people that you have an instant camaraderie with and just, you know.
It shouldn't be like a separate thing either. You know, like I feel like when we all go to these things, it's like the competitions are kind of just an afterthought. Like we have a great time.
And, yeah.
I mean, but there are some people that just, that's all they're there for. And like, that's it. And it's like, you know, I'm not going to name names, but, you know, I think we all know who they are. or who he is. But again, it's like, that to me is like, that's what is the overall message of when I tell people about beard competitions, I'm like, just come to one.
Yeah.
You don't have to participate. I have two friends of mine that are coming on Saturday, and they're fucking excited. They're both going to compete. They have they're like, I'm just going to do it because I want to see what it's about. But it's like, for the most part, they're like, my friend drove up here from or flew up here from San Francisco because he's like, I want to be a part of this because I've seen what it did to you.
Yeah.
And I see like, it, fuck it. Why not? I would love to do that.
I know my 11-year-old niece is coming down from Olympia, Washington to check very it out. Nice. And my sister as well.
Yeah.
She's very excited, but I mean, I don't see, they live in Washington, I live in Michigan, mm-hmm. I see them twice a year. And so now, being in Portland, it's an opportunity for them to come down and for me to share that with them, with my family, and just show them, why do I love this? And, you know, why do I travel and do these things? And
It's I think overall it's very positive. And I will say, like, you know, especially with like Whisker Wars, like when that came out, it brought attention to the bearding community in a different light. It took the more competitive and kind of quirkiness about it as well. But it definitely gathered more interest.
Yeah.
I mean, I will not even lie. Like, there are so many people that just say, like, you know,
they probably call you Whisker Wars on the street.
Pretty much, yeah. Or like, you know, or they know my name, and that's a little weird. Like, I'm not.
Did I sleep with you?
Yeah, it's
Did
exactly.
Did I shove an apple up your uterus?
I'm like, I've only lived here 2 years, and I'm married. I don't think I slept with you.
Or she? Did I shove a pear up your asshole?
But it's you see that it's kind of.
You can take a breather for a moment.
I've seen how new clubs have formed. People are starting to put on competitions. I mean, there's one in Jersey this weekend as well.
Right.
There are, you know, there's more interest generated. I mean, like, I have people that are like, you know, kind of hit me up on Facebook and they're like, listen, my brother loves you on the show. You are his inspiration. I'm like, I don't know what to think about that. I mean, I think it's great. I'm not trying to be like this like role model, but at the same time I'm like, fuck yeah, like somebody is getting involved because of something stupid that I'm doing. You know, like,
I didn't shave for years.
And everyone's like, I want to be a part of this. And to me, that's like, that is so much better than winning. Like, that is so much better than like being like, you know, number one and being in like competitions. It's like that you decided you want to get involved in this and that you're going to make a difference in your community and you're going to, you know, because everybody's like, all of our events, all the money goes to charities and stuff. And like, so there's more charities that are getting involved with like beard and mustache competitions, and it's fucking great. And they love it. Our club gave money to the Keep Abreast Foundation,
right,
which is about education for young women about breast cancer and about, you know, pretty much the eradication of it. And they were so fucking psyched to have us on board to help them out. And she's like, how did you hear about us? I'm like, well, I saw your news story about how it was like a huge controversy that these kids are wearing bracelets that say I love boobies on them. First of all, I love controversy. I love that I love when people make statements like that, that just ruffles the feathers of mainstream society. I love that shit. And when I saw that, I'm like, that's a fucking great organization. So I looked at them, all these like surfer girls from California. I'm just like, you guys are fucking great. Like, I want to be a part of this. And they were more than, they sent me this huge box with like t-shirts and like information, tons of stuff that I was just able to give out and spread the name of their organization. I mean, there are tons of organizations out there that are totally worthy of any proceeds for any event. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to pick and choose. And I actually, you know, there was some guy that like got all bent out of shape about it when I had announced that this is what it's going to. He was like, I think they have enough for like breast cancer awareness. He's like, what about like testicular cancer? I'm like, they have that too. I'm like,
turn around and why don't you try it? Why don't you do
like,
something?
You like, go I mean, for it. Like, you know, each, I mean, the first year our organization gave to the Feel Good Foundation, which is a nonprofit organization that helps out 9/11 first responders. Like, the guy who started it is like, after he cleaned up at Ground Zero, got super sick, takes like, I'm not even
not
fucking
joking.
Not according
to Congress.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that, and that's one thing that I totally supported was, like, they have a fight that they're trying to get medical coverage. This guy takes, like, 50 fucking pills a day.
Yeah.
You know, he has a heart, and all of them were, like, sick and dying. So I was like, this is New York. We need to fucking take care of our own. And that's just kind of, like, how it goes. Like, I love seeing what the money goes to. And it's phenomenal. It's great.
It's awesome.
It's a great community.
Good community. You're right. All right. Well, we're going to... I can't think of any other questions for you now, so we're going to get to...
Go for it. No. You want to keep talking?
Yeah, I'll keep talking.
Keep talking. You want another one?
If you don't mind.
No, not at all.
Would you like one? Mike O'Connor, you're my hero.
Drink all your special elixir.
I have a picture that I signed for this dude that just got started. He's like really excited. So I was like, are you going to be in Portland? He's like, yeah, dude. I'm like, all right, give me your number so I can hit you up when we're out at a bar and I want to give you something. He's like super excited. I'm like, that's cool. Like, I want to make your fucking day. I want you to walk away from this and say, not everyone's an asshole.
Well, I know K and I subscribed by a thing called Wheaton's Law. Mm-hmm. You know Will Wheaton?
Mm-hmm.
Wesley Crusher, if you will.
Wheaton.
Wheaton's law Wheaton. Is don't be a dick.
It's a very good law.
It's a good law. But I did think of something I wanted to say when you were talking about like the community, the facial hair community and stuff like that. One of the things that, I guess I have two things, but one of the things is like Kate and I, we use the facial hair community as a chance to reconnect with friends and family a lot too. Because I'm lucky enough to have a large family and that's spread out over the country. And so we stayed with Kate's best friend from high school last night. And we're going to see my cousins. And obviously, I said my sister and my niece are coming down. When we were out in Philly, we stayed with my cousin Aaron. And
I wish I had family spread out like that.
Like, when we went to Charleston in 2010, we stopped in North Carolina and stayed with some like my old college roommate. New York, we stayed with my cousin and, all these just spread out. And a great thing is my mom's side is a very large family. On my dad's side, the only ones left from their family is he and his brother and then their kids. And so my dad and his identical twin brother, both have three kids.
Wow.
And they live in Youngstown, Ohio or Poland, Ohio. And going to the East Coast for a bunch of these competitions, I grew up and I didn't really know them.
Yeah.
I mean, we just didn't see them. Like, my mom's family's all from around the Detroit area. We saw them all the time, every holiday. And then so all of a sudden, we're driving right by them. And so we stop and we stay at their house, like, every time we go out east.
Oh,
and
nice.
It's just, it's a good break. We, you know, it makes our trip. You know,
that much better.
Yeah, shorter. And then all of a sudden realize, like, we have so much in common and we love this family that we didn't really know.
Right, right, yeah.
And it's just been, I mean, it's been a blessing to be able to get to reconnect with them and have some good times and share some laughs. And
that's cool.
That's pretty
My wild. Family doesn't understand what I do.
Yeah. Well, my parents are, you know, my parents were pretty anti the beard and I got a lot of lectures. And, you know, before they were like, oh, it's a college lark, whatever. And then when I started really growing it 2.5 years ago, my dad got on my case. I mean, my dad loves me and supports me, all that stuff.
Right,
don't get me wrong, but, you know, I'm like, you're going to do with your daughter.
Image.
And,
yeah. But, don't grow a beard.
Please, God. So my parents didn't like it, but it wasn't until the Detroit competition when we did it for Youthville Detroit. It was a big charity. We raised a couple grand for them. My dad, it's a nonprofit community center in Detroit, and my dad works there.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so that was one of the big reasons I chose it was so that my dad could really see the benefit of all this.
Yeah.
And my mom came, and of course, Smalls isn't the greatest venue to bring your 65-year-old parents. I mean,
it's not good to bring anyone's mother.
Yeah, you don't bring your mother there. I mean, you got a bathroom with stickers everywhere and it's leaking.
And cocks.
I mean, it's definitely a place to have a great party.
Yeah.
But it's definitely maybe not the best. But my parents were able to see it. And, you know, some of their friends came out. And Youthville Detroit, some of their members came out. And just, it wasn't until then that they realized what was so important and special about the facial hair community. So,
yeah.
I don't know, just thought I'd share it. The other thing I wanted to share, well, maybe, no, we'll talk about that another time, but...
You want to share your food?
All right, so... We have a new game.
I'm not looking. We have a new game. I saw the first one.
All right. We have a new game that we're doing for all Gaffbo Radio guests. All
right.
It's just five questions. It's pretty simple. Question number one. Favorite swear. Favorite curse word.
It's like James. Am I being interviewed by James Lipton?
What's that? Yeah.
What is that? Oh, God.
I want to talk to you.
I love when Will Ferrell does his thing and he has a whole stack of cards. my favorite swear. Ah, oh, jeez. Yeah. There, you know, in the right context, I love cunt fucker. I'm not a big
It's super vulgar,
but it's not, I don't mean it in like a derogatory term. It's just the way that it flows together. The way it rolls off your tongue, cunt fucker sounds great.
Yeah.
But I think overall,
it's also a compliment. Hey, you fuck cunts. So, I do. All right, you can't sound you.
Or
not really a compliment at all. But
sorry,
ladies.
Just overall, I really wish people used bastard more.
I use bastard quite a bit.
I think bastard is one of my favorite underused swear words. Because I love fuck.
Yeah.
I love to say fuck, but I don't like overusing it. Sometimes it gets to the point where I'm like, God, here I am. I'm just trailer trash like everyone said I was. Yeah, but
sometimes fuck is the only word that can really connotate what you're feeling. It's just like fuck or fuck yeah.
Like
just,
when they're trying, like they're talking about what is it? What the fuck is it called?
See right there, perfect example.
Yeah.
No other word would have fit. What the fudge is it called?
When the organization that's trying to, they're basically trying to say, okay, everything is okay on TV to say.
Okay.
Why can't I think of the
name
of it?
Not the FCC.
FCC, yeah, no. FCC is trying to change, they're trying to change it now, basically, I think it's up for a vote or something.
It's got
to
be up for a vote. I mean, it's definitely becoming more and more prevalent.
Yeah.
I mean, you think South Park swears all the time.
Yeah, and even past a certain time, they'll allow all swear words pretty much on TV. There's something that I like, though. Like, when I'm watching Family Guy and they actually bleep out
sometimes,
words, like, the gag is funnier to me. Yeah. I don't necessarily need to hear what it is. Like, it's just, it's funnier to me.
Or when it's a string, like when someone is talking and it's just like,
bleep. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're like, I don't even know what they said.
I can't even think of what they could have said. That's so much.
You know what we got away with saying on Whisker Wars? This is what Melina's got away with. And there's a funny story about this. They had to go up the chain of command through an email to find out if it was okay if he said this on TV. Cockass. I thought that was like, cockass. I was like, that's amazing. The fact that there was an email sent out.
These executives in suits.
Yeah, they're all like, cockass. I think we could get away with that. And you're like, what the fuck?
You can see them standing around a boardroom. You can't say cockass on TV.
They got like
Why not?
A fucking pie chart, and they're like pointing to it.
It's a Venn diagram. Yeah. Cock and ass, anywhere it connects. Cockass.
Oh, all right, what's your next question?
Oh, man. No, real quick about swearing. The very first episode I ever saw of SpongeBob SquarePants, when it came out in like 2000 or whatever,
was an interesting segue.
Well, no, we're talking about swearing and the bleeping out and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And what it was he saw swear words on the side of a dumpster or something, and so they. But whenever he
watched the show,
it's probably like one of five episodes I've ever
seen. Yeah.
And then my mom was convinced I was obsessed with SpongeBob.
Oh, man, she got you underwear and sheets.
Yes!
Through a birthday party.
And I'm like, I'm 22, leave me alone. But he made a dolphin noise.
Yeah.
Instead of a, like, a bleep. But then they determined that the swear word meant, like, have a great day instead of, like, have, you know, like, fuck you or whatever. Just, like, have a shitty day. And so he just used it throughout the episode. He'd say it. But it would make a dolphin noise, like,
wow.
Whatever. And then, so he'd walk up and be like, hope you have a bad day. And, like, those people would get really offended, and they would just smile. I don't know, it's funny, good stuff. But whatever.
That's interesting, that's a kid show.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was like, holy shit, I like this. That and But
that is a good show to watch. Adventure Time is also really good.
Adventure Times, yeah, solid. Or C-Lab 2021.
Oh,
God, that show was brilliant.
That was a great show.
That was Kate's favorite show for a long time. And then the captain died.
Yeah.
It just wasn't
fun. No.
But all right. Question two. How much money would it take you to convince you to shave?
That's always such a... Because, honestly, I have a lot of people from work that ask me that question all the time. And it's not necessarily about the money. It's just the time and the effort that it took to grow something like this out. It's not... You can't put money on it. But, again, if I was... If someone offered me $2 million, and it's not a million. It's...
With the bottle caps.
Yeah, sorry, that's my money.
This is $2 million?
This is $2 million.
I'll trade you this for $100.
$2 million is I would be set for life in a very modest lifestyle because I'm never going to make $2 million in my lifetime in my current position that I'm in. But I guess I could take $2 million to shave it off and then grow it back out. But it's not even about the money. It's what I've gone through in these 3 years that makes this worth it. More than money. I almost said worthless, but...
Well, we just wanted to see if you were dedicated to your craft, your beard craft. So, yeah. You know, I guess you
pass. So I win?
You pass.
$2 million, please.
Question three. What is your favorite facial hair in fiction? I know you love, like, nonfiction, and you're a big science geek and just, like, all that stuff, but what's your favorite... fictional facial hair.
I would have to say it would be Gandalf the White.
Gandalf the White. Not Gandalf the Grey, that fucker.
Yeah, I mean, Gandalf the Grey was
that
actually...
That cunt fucker, Gandalf the Grey.
That cunt fucking cock-ass.
Fucking cock-ass bastard, Gandalf the Grey.
I like Gandalf the Grey because he was a big pot smoker.
He probably likes putting corn on the cob up his uteruses.
I like Gandalf the Grey because he's a pot smoker, and Gandalf the White was just like fucking badass. But
he killed people with swords. He's like, I don't even need magic. I'm gonna fucking cut you.
Yeah, I would have to say it would be Gandalf the Grey or the White.
The White. All right.
Yeah.
Good. Last question. Question four. Who you fucking?
Who am I fucking, or who am I fucking with?
Who you fucking?
I am fucking my wife.
Yeah.
This weekend.
Good old upper debate.
Good old Lefty Lucy over here.
Miss Michigan.
Yeah, this weekend's hard. We're going to strip clubs? What the fuck, man? If I was a single guy, I would be in fucking heaven right now. But, you know, I'm in a very committed relationship. So, you know, I'll just wank it when
one
I get home.
One would hope with the baby on the way.
Yes, of course.
The apple in your wife's uterus. But, yeah. Well, Mike O'Connor, I just want to say from the Duchess of Information, Catherine Smith, Admiral Buckler, the rest of the GAFBO, the tens of people that are going to be listening to this, thank you very much for participating.
Thank you for having me on. This is awesome.
All right. Cheers.
Cool.
Don't forget, let your beard flag fly.